I'm supposed to record so Pastor can check in and make sure I actually preached a good sermon. That's supposed to make you laugh too. Grace to you and peace this day from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let those words soak in just a little bit, because I know that I speak them time and time again, week after week when I preach, and often we as Christians hear them year after year, and sometimes it gets to the point where it's just a perfunctory thing where the pastor has to say that so he can get on with it. But I say again to you, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a reason for that. I took that moment to remind us of the grace and peace that our God gives to us because we live in a world that is very busy. We have, many of us, so many things on our to-do list that we'll never actually get through. You all are probably much more organized than I am and probably get through much more of yours than I do. But I know that sometimes, in fact, most times, I feel overwhelmed with all there is to do. And I feel like I have to find a new way to be able to be efficient, to be able to get things done as quickly as possible so I'm able to make as much impact or at least get as much of the readings for classes done as is possible before the classes actually happen. Now, that's not happening this summer, but perhaps there are experiences from your life as well, whether it's working at home or working in an occupation that you have and activities that you're involved with in the community, taking care of family, whatever the case may be. It seems so often that our lives run at a hectic pace where we have to be efficient or we fall so far behind that we're never going to be able to catch up. I'm going to be very un-Lutheran and ask for a little bit of audience participation. Has anybody felt like that recently? Or are you all much more organized than I am? It's okay, you good Lutherans over here, this chunk in the middle, I know you're not sleeping, you're actually just very organized. All of you honest people out here who are willing to raise your hand, thank you for that. You made me feel like it's not just me. Seems like in our world, we focus very heavily on optimization and efficiency and trying to focus on getting the maximal result from every single effort that we have. We look out into our world, and as our parable is an example from agriculture, just a note, how many of you are involved in agriculture at all or have been in your lives? Got a few out there, so we'll get to talk a little bit more background. That's so I know, so I don't tell a bunch of farmers about tractors. But it used to be that you would go out and you would plant your fields, you would drive in as straight a line as possible. If you ask any farmer, they would tell you they drove in a perfectly straight line, and if there's any deviation, that's because the seed kind of tipped over, and it wasn't because they didn't plant in a straight line. Well, nowadays, they have tractors with GPS built in, and you put a little chip into your tractor and it tracks exactly where the tractor planted the seeds that are in the field so that it's as efficient as possible and keeping as straight a line as possible as you plant your rows in the field. Now later you have to go back and drive through and either spray or cultivate out those weeds that have grown up since then. Every farmer's favorite thing in the world is weeds, and anyone who's had to deal with anything green, I think that's their favorite thing in the world. But now you're able to take that chip from your first tractor, put it into the second tractor, and you can go through your field and it'll know exactly where those rows are at so that the tractor drives itself and doesn't hit any of your crops. Not that farmers used to hit any crops anyway. They would never hit anything. Lightning would just strike if there was something in the field where you couldn't see, where there's some of the crops knocked out. You farmers are supposed to be laughing at this. I'm actually telling your secrets so they know that it was the cultivator, not the lightning. Got one laugh out there, I know that for sure. But it tracks all the way through to harvest to be able to get the maximal result from the technology used to be able to get the biggest crop possible for your fields. We continue working in our lives to find other ways to develop efficiency as well, whether it's something to schedule our calendar and keep track of it, to be able to keep track of all of the things we have to do. We're entirely focused on efficiency because we only have a few hours a week to be able to do everything that we need to do. And then we come to our parable for today. we come to the parable of the sower. And we have the opportunity to hear Jesus teach about a sower who goes out into the field with a bag of seed around his waist, not even a planter that will plant in straight rows in just the right place. But he reaches into this bag of seed, grabs a handful, and spreads it across the field. And as that seed falls, we hear about it falling on various areas of soil. I know I didn't do it exactly right. There's a reason for that, though. See, this is what happens. I have conversations in the middle of my sermon with people who are noting things. We actually pay attention to what's happening out there when we're up here. The sower, though, sows the seed far and wide across the field, spreading it liberally and generously across the field. And some of that seed, it falls on the path, which is a place where it will never grow, and it's eaten up. Then another area that's not so good, it falls where there's only thin soil. We hear about how it falls into the weeds as well and is choked up. And then finally, we hear about some where that seed falls into a place where it's productive and it grows up and produces 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Now, anybody out there ever gardened or in any other way worked with plants? How many of you out there who have gardened would love to have a plant that returned 100-fold of what you planted? Is that a pretty good harvest? How about even a 30-fold return? That's pretty darn good. When we hear about this bounty that Jesus discusses, the ears that would have heard it that first time, that parable, they would have been excited about hearing a crop that returns 100-fold. It's almost insanity. But so it is with the way that Jesus was teaching us about how God's word works. But at the front, at the surface, what I'd like us to contemplate is the way that the sower, who by the way is God, spreading his word out among all people, spreads that word. Now perhaps he did it as some sowers would do, very carefully laying the seed out in the perfect spots. But I believe the image that we have from the way that it's described is that the Lord spreads that seed, his word, almost indiscriminately, at least from our perspective. Now, God knows where, when he sows his word, when he spreads his word out in the world, where it's going and where it's going to end up and the result that is going to happen from it. We heard in our reading from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, about how when God's word goes out from his mouth, it never returns void. It never returns without having accomplished the purpose for which he sent it out. When God speaks or God's word is spoken on his behalf, things happen. Always what God has desired for that to do. The scary thing, if you're one who speaks that word on his behalf, is what that effect that God wants to have happen is. Because you don't know when you step into a place like perhaps a pulpit like this, what's going to happen with the words that come out of your mouth. Presumably good and holy words, but there's always that fear and trembling of how God's word will affect his people. And in much the same way, when we, wherever we may be, speak God's word, there's that effect that happens. It has power and it has strength. It's something that's not just idle words or chatter, but instead a word of power and strength that brings about faith and brings about life. You see, that's why we come together week after week, to hear about God's word, to have it presented to us in the words that are presented from this pulpit, to be able to hear that word again and anew, and how God has worked through his grace and his mercy, through that spreading of his word far and wide, to bring us to faith, to bring us into the story of his creation, to bring us into his family. You see, when I see the parable of the sower, I understand that there are categories of soil that we're talking about, but I think that the bigger message for us here is, one, that we want to be that deep soil, and two, that God spreads his word far and wide because he wants it to reach everyone. You see, the God who created the universe, who brought it all into motion by speaking a few words, the one who breathed life into Adam and then created Eve, that God desires all of us to be saved. He desires all people to be saved, and he spreads his word as the means by which that happens. He calls people to faith through that word and brings them to the waters of baptism, where, once again, coincidentally, water is wrapped with his word, and where there was once death, now there becomes life. And not only that, but an adoption into God's family, being made real and true, holy and righteous children of God. And not only there, we receive time and time again at his altar, his body and his blood wrapped in the word of the promise that he would be present in it. We have the chance to celebrate with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Because at that point, when we come to this altar, we have the ability to join, even in anticipation of joining that marriage feast of the faithful that is happening in heaven now and will be happening for eternity. We get the opportunity to be ones who have that word which was sown in our hearts, strengthened and secured by the faith and promises of God given to us. We have the opportunity to be ones who receive it with joy and then go out from this place to sow it everywhere we go. You see, we may not have an answer of how that word will affect someone that we talk to. It may seem to our eyes that it doesn't have an effect. But the reality is that God's word never goes out without accomplishing its purpose. Whether it comes from a pulpit or from the mouth of a pastor or a teacher or anyone who happens to speak it. Sometimes it's most effective not from here, but instead from the mouth of a faithful Christian out on the street. Praise be to God that he is the one who endows his word with power, that he uses his word to be able to bring his joy and his peace and indeed salvation and eternal life to all people who trust in him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.